My name is Beth Ann Jacob, and I'm the Evaluation Director at the Midwest AIDS Training and Education Center. For the next minute, if you want to stand up, I'm not at all offended, stand up and sit back down, because I know you've been sitting for a while. Look, I have nothing to disclose. So, if you're anything like me, when you were reading through the program, you looked at all these things, and everyone has presented, and it's incredibly interesting, but I did this, connect the dots. How do these things relate? So I went back to the session objectives when I was trying to get the slides together, and one part of the session objective is to analyze factors influencing positive health outcomes among individuals in care for HIV. So I'm going to focus, given that as the objective, on the identification of HIV infection, which really means I probably should have led, because the identification comes before entry to care and all the other things, but that's all right. So, as I said before, I work for the Midwest AIDS Education and Training Center. So I'm assuming, but I shouldn't, that all of you know what the AETCs are. Can I have a show of hands of everyone who's familiar with the AETC? Great, good. Okay, so the mission of the AETCs is to improve the quality of life of patients living with HIV and AIDS through the provision of high quality education and training to healthcare professionals. Now, this is the map. Where I work is in that sort of burgundy color in the Midwest, and the healthcare professionals of focus based on our funder are physicians and nurses and not necessarily public health professionals. But of course, most of the work that we do is related to public health, being that it's HIV related. So I'm going to talk a little bit today about an evaluation project that I worked on. The title is long. It's the AETC. Why does it keep doing that? I'm sorry. I apologize. The AETC HIV Testing Recommendations Training Initiative Grant. And that was from 2008 to 2009. This grant was an outcropping of the CDC revised recommendations for HIV testing in 2006. Most of you I know are familiar with those recommendations. I'm just going to run through them. Routine voluntary HIV screening for all persons between the ages of 13 and 64 in healthcare settings not based on risk, with a repeat HIV screening recommended for persons with known risk, at least annually. The screening was voluntary, and this new dimension, which is opt-out. So there's a verbal information that you're being tested for HIV unless you decline. The rationale for these revised recommendations are pretty straightforward. I wanted to focus on the third one, which is awareness of HIV infection leads to substantial reductions in HIV risk sexual behavior. And part of the data that underlies that rationale is that, and I think Eugene mentioned this in a different way, but there's research in 2006 that says that of all persons living with HIV and AIDS, 25% of them do not know about their infection, and from those 25%, that accounts for 54% of new infections, sexual infections annually. Whoa. Okay. So the AETC HIV Testing Recommendations Training Initiative Grant had two primary goals and two modes of delivery. These are functions of the AETCs. The first goal of... I'm going to put this down. I'm sorry. I promise I won't touch anything. So to facilitate the expansion of HIV testing in clinical settings and to coordinate efforts with regional and national HIV testing activities. And the modes of delivery were training and technical assistance, which I'll talk about more later. I chose to focus on a qualitative methodology. I don't know if any of you do a lot of work in systems change, but change process at a systems level is dynamic, it's multifaceted, it's really difficult to quantify. Little was known about how the goals would be achieved or the changes would actually occur. And the settings and the stakeholders were quite diverse. So the starting point was to do stakeholder interviews and to use a qualitative methodology. I also have to add that MATEC was participating in national efforts with the AETC community across the country to do a quantitative analysis of with five standardized questions around HIV testing and routine testing. So we sort of had a mixed method in qualitative, quantitative. But I focused on the stakeholder interviews. Okay, so there were 12 key stakeholder interviews. They were coordinators and administrators from implementation sites for this grant. Some were partners and collaborators, for instance, state and local public health departments. I interviewed key MATEC staff as well. And the data, the themes that emerged from these interviews were representing settings in Illinois, Indiana, Missouri, Michigan, and Minnesota. Okay, so there was a semi-structured interview. I tailored the interviews for each group, the implementation sites, the coordinators, and the MATEC staff. The interviews were all conducted by me at two points in time. There was an initial interview in late 2008 into 2009, and then a follow-up interview where I was able to get 11 of the 12 people that I initially interviewed in late 2009. Okay, so what did I find? So with regard to testing expansion, this was kind of common sense to me, but I heard some really interesting description of this, that implementation occurs along a continuum, right? And what does routine testing mean? And the routineness of testing practices were very different according to stakeholders. The second point was that even when routine offering is achieved, routine testing seems pretty much unattainable. It's easier to create a program that focuses on routine testing from scratch than to revise a risk-based testing program. That I heard all over the place. So there was a site in Minnesota that created during this period of time a routine testing program, and it happened in terms of stakeholder buy-in and securing equipment and all of the resources and getting it together so much more seamlessly than trying to deconstruct and reconstruct a risk-based testing program. And then, of course, there were significant barriers and challenges that existed in the testing expansion. They include, but this is not an exhaustive list, turning plans into actions and maintaining was incredibly difficult for a lot of the implementation sites. Buy-in from stakeholders at all levels. So what that meant is, you know, I assumed when people talk about buy-in that there's, this is just my bias, there's a physician that doesn't want to do this, or there's a one frontline nurse. But what I heard was that every site had a really different struggle with buy-in. So sometimes it was the laboratory and sort of the mechanism in place to get lab records back and forth that was the buy-in issue, and other times it was the physician, other times it was the individuals who were actually doing the testing. Reworking clinic and patient flow, especially the two sites that I spoke to were emergency rooms, and the logistics were incredibly complicated. How we get someone to get in the door and where they receive a test, especially there were multiple testing methods used. So in some settings, this was not just rapid testing, there was a combination of testing methodologies, and clinic and patient flow was incredibly complicated. Tracking and record keeping, that goes with some issues related to the lab work, but learning how to track differently, both in magnitude, because there was just a natural increase in testing numbers, but in becoming efficient with the new system, required a lot of front-end work in terms of record keeping. Distributing and redistributing staff. So this one, this was interesting to me. It's not just that there was not enough funding to staff routine testing. It was nursing staff at 2 o'clock in the morning, or it was redistributing shifts that made the routine offering incredibly difficult. 5 more minutes? Oh, I'm fine. Okay, and then adapting old systems and creating new systems. There's a lot of detail behind that, which I'd be happy to share with anyone interested. So, what came out of this was there were many stories that I heard from stakeholders about the AIDS Education and Training Centers and the role of this process. So, lots of things that I didn't realize the AETC was doing that we were doing that helped to facilitate the implementation. We created an organizational readiness type of a semi-structured interview so that they were using it to discuss with some of the clinical setting directors. So at a couple of implementation sites, there was a readiness. It wasn't really a scale. It was more of a semi-structured interview to help people think through readiness issues. Training at the organizational levels, not just the individual clinician level. locating funds for pilot projects. One of the, at the Indiana site, it was the Indiana AETC site that was able, they were aware of grant money to help the emergency room write the application to get the grant to do the pilot project. And securing of test kits, not just locating funding for pilot projects, but for the securing of test kits early on in the project. Creating manuals and other resource materials, fostering network opportunities, and creating task force. And each of these was proven very effective in facilitating testing expansion, other things. But I knew I was the last talker, and I wanted to be able to get it done in 15 minutes, so thank you.